And it is, we are in week 7 of this sermon series that I started. I didn't know how many weeks it was going to be. I think I've been on part 5 for 3 weeks now. I just add number to it because God just keeps giving me more and more and more about this idea of the end times, right? And the end times is as we understand and we know, the end times is the time between when Jesus ascended into heaven and the time that he returns, which we do not know when that's going to be, right? We do not know the day, the hour, or the time as we've been going through this. But the question that we have been, that I've been trying to answer is, what should the church be doing? What should the church be doing in this time that we are in? Now, last week I shared the importance of living for Jesus intentionally. Okay? Not just saying it, not just wearing the t-shirt, not just, you know, I've been hearing a lot about crosses these days, and we see a lot of people who wear crosses, and you know, you can't just assume, right, that because somebody wears a bracelet or a t-shirt or they got the bumper sticker on their car, I'm pretty sure t-shirts have went up since that video was made, right? But just because you have those things and wear those things, we should look different, right? I mean, we should be different. It's interesting, we play pickleball from time to time in Franklin, usually in the evenings. What's crazy is, There's two young boys that are there a lot, and they are Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? And so they kind of walk around, and they're just waiting for somebody to talk to. Now, they haven't come and talked to me yet, but I can't wait till they do. But here's the thing that stuck out to, as Tracy and I were talking last night. What sticks out to me about those two boys, now, they may be chasing after the wrong thing, and I get that, but they look a whole lot different than the world, don't they? They dress a whole lot different. They act a whole lot different. You know, they may not be, like I said, they may not be chasing after the same Jesus that I am chasing after, but let me tell you something about those two boys. They are bold in their religion, or cult, or whatever you want to call it. It's just crazy to me. And it gets me thinking, shouldn't Christians be like that? I mean, I get it. Maybe we don't all wear the same clothes, but we follow the same Jesus. Amen? Amen? The same Jesus that changed our lives. Not only that, changed eternity for us. Shouldn't we be living for Him? Shouldn't we be doing it intentionally? You know, I've beat up on that cult many times. But the reality is, they look different. We should be living for Jesus intentionally, amen? What we learned last week, in order to live intentionally for Jesus, we need to set our hearts and our minds on the things above. Right? Not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. We are to set our hearts and our minds on things above. Now, I'm thinking one of the biggest problems in the Christian faith today, one of the biggest problems in the Christian faith today is our hearts and our minds are so focused on earthly things. They are so focused on earthly things that we hardly have any time left to live for Jesus intentionally. We don't. Oh, we say we do. We say we do. You know, that's another thing God's been really hitting me this week with is, you know what? What kind of persecution am I experiencing in America? You know, I talk to people who are like, yeah, man, those people at the electric company, they're calling me for the bill. That's persecution. Nah, it's not persecution. That just means you didn't pay your bill. You know, we walk out here and we talk about the littlest of things as persecution. We don't know persecution in America. We do not. Oh, we will. And it may come sooner rather than later, let me tell you. We have the perfect setup, wouldn't you agree, to live intentionally for Christ? You get to do it freely, everywhere. I get it. Maybe there's a couple of your jobs that say, hey, don't be sharing Jesus. But the reality is you can still share Jesus at your workplace when somebody asks you. But the problem is not the world in which we live. The problem is where our hearts and our minds are set on. Our hearts and our minds are set on earthly things. You see, we as we talked about last week, we bring Jesus along with us everywhere we go, but this is a problem. It's a problem because we just have Jesus in our back pocket waiting to bring Him out whenever we're in need, rather than following Jesus into your day. Wherever your day goes. Maybe your day goes to the school. Maybe your day goes to the office. Maybe your day goes to the community. Maybe your day goes to Walmart. I don't know. Wherever your day takes you, you should be following Jesus into your day. Not just taking Jesus with you. Because when we take Jesus with us, we're focused on the earthly things of life. And we want Him to bless our day, to bless our things, to bless what we do, rather than doing what He is asking us to do. Several of you are in that Experiencing God study. I think we ought to probably all go through it. I've been through it like 5 or 6 times. I've taught it several times. And the reality of that study is that you are to go and join God where He is at work. That is the essence of the Christian faith. To join God where He's at work, not to go and create work for God. Okay? So our hearts and our minds need to be set on earthly things. When we look at the rest of the world, right? When we don't have the proper perspective. So we are also called to be the light of the world. We are called to be His light in this world. I want to read to you as we begin here today from Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. And it says this: Since then you have been raised with Christ. Anybody been raised with Christ? Amen. Oh man, we got a few. Right? If you are born again, you've been raised with Christ. Stick with me. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is Christ your life? Be careful to answer that. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So church, we need to live our lives intentionally for Jesus. We know that we need to set our hearts and our minds on the things above where Jesus is currently, right? The next thing from last week, this is a continuation of the last however many weeks, I don't know. But the next thing that I want to share with you on this topic of living intentionally for Jesus is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. I need to live for Jesus intentionally today. Okay? I need to live intentionally for Jesus today. I want to read to you James chapter 4. 13 through 17 says this: Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Right? Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I want to read to you another. I read you the wrong verse. I don't know what. I was sitting there reading that, and I'm going, "Wait a minute, God, that's not right. That's nothing. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on." Is there anybody sick? Come on, okay. I don't know why I had it highlighted. I'm at 5. Okay, this will sound much better. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. There's something in this scripture that God's word reminds us of, and that is this: life's uncertainty. Right? Which is more the reason we should live intentionally today, right? Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't wait until tomorrow is what God's word's saying. Don't wait until tomorrow to do what God is placing on your heart to do today. You know, if God's putting something on your heart, go, I'll get to that tomorrow. But the Bible says you don't even know if tomorrow's coming. You don't know if tomorrow's coming. Oh, we bank on that it's coming, right? I mean, we go through our day as though tomorrow's coming. We live our lives as though tomorrow's coming. And God's word says don't do that. Don't live that way. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't prepare for the future. We'll talk about that in a moment. Doesn't mean that you don't look to the future, you know, get to make plans. The reality is God can change those plans. And those plans may not even ever come. God's word encourages us to encourage each other every single day and to be consistent in doing it. I mean, I don't know about you. I've got certain people that I'm in contact with every day, and I get the opportunity to encourage them. They encourage me. It's really awesome. It's really awesome to have that brotherhood, right? So this phrase that in that scripture in Hebrews that says, as long as it is called today, right? It emphasizes the urgency of this encouragement and living intentionally. Okay? Do the people around you know Jesus? Is your family being raised up in Jesus? Is your spouse being grounded in the Word of God? Do the people around you know Him? It's important. It's important because if you don't tell them, who will? So let me ask you this. Who in your life needs encouragement? There's somebody in your life that needs encouragement. And you know who they are. They might be sitting right next to you right now. Okay? They need encouragement. And what I want to do is challenge you as God's word challenges us to make sure that you are encouraging each other. You know what I see a lot of? I see a lot of people tearing each other down because of life and everything else. They tear each other down. They're not building each other up. They, you know what? When somebody's knocked down, they knock them down even more. And that's not the way God is telling us to live. God is saying you make the most of every single day. You know what? I'm pretty convinced that if I put this into practice in my own life, I have a better chance of pleasing God in my everyday life. If I don't look past the next 24 hours of my life, I have a better chance of pleasing God with the life that I live. Knowing that tomorrow may not come, right? As long as it is called today, we should be encouraging each other. Church, if you have been given a day, if you have been given a today, right, then encourage each other. Again, who is God placing on your heart right this minute? You've got them. And you know what? It may come with some persecution. You know, some of you have a hard time sharing with the people around you because they don't respect you, or they'll just tell you flat to your face, oh, you believe in that junk? You believe in that? And you know what? It shouldn't change the way you respond. And it shouldn't change the way you continue to share. Because let me tell you something, if God's at work in their hearts, if He is at work around them, one day they're going to hear what you say. One day they will hear what you say. And I also ask you this, what are you waiting for? What are you afraid of? You know, last time, don't get me wrong, I mean, words hurt, right? I mean, you know, sometimes I'd rather somebody just come and try to fight me as to say the things that they say to me. I get it. Words hurt. But the last I checked, nobody's being stoned to death for sharing the gospel. It might come with a little persecution of words. Maybe people won't want to be around you anymore. I can't tell you how many people that were my friends that aren't around anymore just because of who I am in Christ. I pray for them. It's not my job to be their friend, though. It's my job to share the gospel with them. A gospel that saves. So what are you waiting for? Whoever God's placing on your heart right now that needs to know Jesus, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you sharing with them? That doesn't mean get your cell phone out right now and text. But by golly, you ought to be getting intentional about reaching out to them soon. Now let's just look back at James 4, 13 through 17 for just a moment. There are some encouragements for us in these verses of living intentionally for God today, right? Number one, life's uncertainty, okay? It's very much about life's uncertainty, about boasting about tomorrow and all that. I mean, aren't you blessed to be here today? I mean, aren't you blessed that God woke you up this morning? You know, I mean, He got you up this morning and you felt good. And, you know, I had a few aches and pains, thanks to Andrew. Cheap shotting me on the pickleball court. But no, I'm just kidding. I wasn't calling him out. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. In spite of the aches and pains, God gave me a day. He woke me up, my eyes open, my feet hit the floor, and I get to live life for another day. A day that wasn't promised to me. But God chose to give it to me. Aren't you thankful that God woke you up today? But the reality is, life is uncertain. It's uncertain, right? Today may be my last today. Could be. Today could be my last today. Tomorrow may not come. Well, at least here on earth, my tomorrow will come. Don't know when my tomorrow will be, but it will happen. You see, God's word compares our lives to that of a mist. a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This verse serves as a reminder for us today that we don't have control. Okay, we don't have control over the future, so why don't we start living for Jesus intentionally today? I mean, don't you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when you meet Him face to face? If you do, you better start living intentionally for Him today. Because tomorrow may not come. It may not. Now, this doesn't mean to go live in fear of death. I got Jesus. What do I got to be afraid of? But I do want to hear Him say, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant." It's the only thing I want to. I could, you know what? In all honesty, I could care less about all the crowns that may be being stored up in heaven. You know, some people get. All I want to do is hear Jesus. I want to look at Him in His face, and I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's it. That'd be the greatest gift that I could ever receive. But if that's going to happen, I better be living for Him today, right? See, number two says we need to submit to God's will from these verses in James. I need to submit to God's will. You see, instead of boasting in our own ideas and plans, which I'm very good at doing, I'm sure you are too. So instead of boasting in our own ideas and plans, We are encouraged to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. Church, this shows humility and acknowledges God's sovereignty over our lives and our plans. God's not saying don't plan. But shouldn't we be saying, you know what, if it is God's will, I will do this. If it is God's will, I will go there or do that. You know, we are very good at making plans apart from God, wouldn't you agree? We're very good at it. And we live our lives as though, man, I'm going to live until I'm 100. The reality is that may not be the case. It also emphasizes the importance of spending time with God. Now, I don't know how people of faith get through life without spending time with God. You see, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen even in today. But I know I want to be with Him, and I know I want to be in Him, right? I want to be found in Him. I want to be connected to Him. You see, we need to be spending time with God in prayer. We need to be spending time with God in Bible study, right? We need to be spending time with God in worship. In all honesty, what we're learning is this is something we need to do all day, every day. You know, it's having the Bible verse on your desk or whatever. It's having the worship music playing in your car. It's all these things. I need to be surrounded by Him. I need to be consumed by Him all day, every day, so that I can be with Him, connected to Him. Church, I need to submit my will to God's will. Again, is it bad to have plans and goals? It is not. I don't believe it is. I believe God wants us to make plans and have goals. But it's important that we live intentionally for Jesus, and when we do, those plans and goals can get altered. They can get altered. But what happens a lot of times, I've done it in my own life, is I say, I'm doing this no matter what. And God sends things, puts things in the way, tries to get me not to go down that path or whatever it is, not to do that day, right? And then you find yourself outside of God's will, right? That's when it gets bad. When you're not in His will any longer. Now, I'm not talking about just sin. We all sin, right? I mean, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but that certainly is a part of it. I'm talking about making plans and God says, no, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't do this. But no, God, I'm supposed to go to the northern side of India. And He's going, no. I need you to go here. And then we don't listen. We don't submit to... Look, I get it because there's a lot of times I can't see anything but myself. I can't see anything but what's in front of me. And what happens is I want my will to go through so bad that I miss out on probably one of the greatest blessings of the day to join God where He's at work. Because as a Christian, isn't that the greatest thing we can do? Is to be His hands and feet? To be used by God? To be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There is nothing like it. I've had those days. Unfortunately, they've been too far in between. Because the reality is, if I'm living for Him today, I would see Him a lot more. Something else, number three, encouragement from James chapter 4, is don't avoid doing good. Okay? That's the thing it says. Don't avoid anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. You see, James 14 states that knowing what you ought to do, right? Knowing what you ought to do and you don't do it, you're in sin. I can't get this out of my head, but last month when we went to feed the homeless in Bloomington, I was so focused on going and feeding the homeless in Bloomington. I realized when I got to Bloomington, I passed three people that were at the side of the road that needed help. Three people. I remember it like it was yesterday, and God won't let me get rid of it. You know, all I was focused on was going and doing good in Bloomington. You know what? We're going to go and we're going to feed them people, and we're going to share Jesus with them. And I passed three people that probably needed the same thing. Three people. You know what? When you see something that you should be doing and you don't do it, that's called sin, my friends. I was in sin for passing those three people. Now, don't get me wrong, they may have been like, hey man, you go on, I'm good, I've made, but I didn't stop. Knowing the good you ought to do and not doing it is sin. Stop neglecting opportunities to do good just because it doesn't fit in your schedule. This has gotten me so many times, and you know the scripture, it says, make sure that you're entertaining strangers because in doing so you could be entertaining an angel of God, a test. I kid you not. There's been times that I've been on the road and I've been focused so much on my day, I've passed somebody that was out there struggling to get a tire on. And I go down to the stoplight and all of a sudden I go, God, I should have stopped. And whenever I turn around and go back, they're already gone. It happens. If you know the good you ought to be doing, we need to be doing it. Stop neglecting the opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Stop neglecting that. Church, in these end times that we are in, we should be doing good. We should be doing good, godly things, right? We need to make Jesus known to those around us, both in our homes and in this world. You know, I think the home is probably the greatest neglect in our world today. We should be opening up the Bible together. We should be praying together with our kids. I tell you what, it was a fight. And you've probably heard me say this before. It was a fight for a youth pastor and a children's minister to get up every day and sometimes drag our kids to the table for devotion and prayers. But you know what? They came kicking and screaming. Because the reality is, I bet that they would look back on that, and though their lives probably haven't been perfect, but they would look back on that and they'd say, I'm thankful that you did that. It helped me get through the day. Church, the home should be, especially the home, should be grounded in God's Word completely. Devotions in the morning before they go to school, prayer, you know. Come on, we got to get this. We got to be willing to step up. We need to be willing to step up when the Holy Spirit guides us to do things, right? Especially in our homes. If God has placed it on your heart to do some kind act, right? Some random act of kindness to render a service or to restore a relationship, you need to do it. Living intentionally for Jesus is really very little about you and a whole lot about Him. Making Him known more and more. But it is more than that. It is about living intentionally every day because you know the day is approaching. The day is approaching. It is. It is approaching. And as we've learned over this series, there's nothing that stands in the way of Jesus and the appearing in the sky and the trumpet sounding. There is nothing. I've studied, and I stand convinced that there's nothing that stands in the way of Jesus returning today. Nothing. Okay, it doesn't have to get a whole lot worse. Doesn't even have to get a whole lot better. It's vitally important to understand. Knowing that life is uncertain, that we should submit to God's will in our lives, and we should not avoid doing good deeds for the Lord, the next thing I would ask you to write down is this: Christians should live intentionally today. Christians should live intentionally today. Live intentionally for the kingdom today, right? There shouldn't be anything else. The kingdom has to be the priority, right? We have to set our hearts and our minds on the kingdom. And when we set our hearts and minds on the kingdom, everything else falls into place. I make sure that my kids know Jesus, right? I make sure that my spouse is prayed over, and I spend time in the Word together, and I'm fighting the battle with them each and every day. Right? If my heart and my mind is set on things above, I will live intentionally for the kingdom. Church, you and I should be prioritizing a deeper relationship with God through prayer, through His Word, about aligning our actions and goals with God's purpose and will, right? We should be cultivating a mind of Christ through biblical thinking, through building faith-filled communities, right? By creating an atmosphere for God to be a part of our lives. And we need to make deliberate, consistent choices to grow in godliness and serve Him, rather than living for our own personal desires and comfort. I was going to ask if there's any Team Jesus in the house this morning. Yeah, there's a couple of you. Is there any Team Jesus in the house? All right, okay, good, good, good. Just sure, maybe this message was just for me. I don't know. Team Jesus is Christians, right? Team Jesus, Christians, in order to accomplish all these things, you have to live intentionally for Christ today. Don't say, yeah, you know what, I'll get to that tomorrow. Don't get me wrong, thank God for the tomorrow, right? Which is actually a today. Thank God that I got the chance to bring my, you know, bring my family to church, or thank God I got the chance to be in that study, or thank God I had the chance to do whatever it is that God has allowed me to do today. Right? But knowing that all these things are happening, the way I'm supposed to live, the things that I am supposed to accomplish today, if God gives me a today, we have to live intentionally for Jesus today. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, from that James scripture, not when you have everything else in your life all figured out, right? I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you meet a couple people who are just absolutely in love, and I remember lots of these encounters, and they're so in love, and they're together, and the man's just like, yeah, I just don't have everything in place yet. And I just look at him and I go, and you never will. Because the reality is, you'll never be so financially stable that you can support a family, right? Or you don't have all the things that you have so that you can take care of the family that God's going to give you. You see, the reality is, if you are a Christian, you should be living for the kingdom intentionally today. And I get it. You're going, okay, Pastor, I hear you. I hear you. So how do I live intentionally for Jesus today? And I say, that's a great question. The first thing that you need to do is, I need to seek God's will and purpose. That's what you need to do. I need to seek God's will and purpose. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, church, I believe now more than ever, it is vitally important that we seek God's will and purpose for our lives in really everything. Everything. But how do we know what God's will and purpose is? Well, according to God's word, we need our minds renewed, right? Look, you don't just say a prayer, or you don't just say, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus, and then all of a sudden, bam! No, we've got to have our minds renewed, right? We have to have our minds renewed. That's according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We need to have our minds renewed. We need to be intentional in doing this. That's it. This is all about being intentional. Well, you know, I really don't have time to go to that Bible study. I got work to do around the house. That's not being intentional for God's Word. Okay? It's not. It's just not. We need to be intentional about being in the Word of God at some point. Every day. And I would even say all day. How can I be in God's Word all day, every day? Now, you'd be like, well, I got to work. Yeah, but how can you be in the Word of God even at work? Remembering Scripture. Hey, there's a good one. You know what? Reciting Scripture. Reciting your verse of the day. I'm not so worried about the address, but hey, at least know the Word of God. We need to be intentional in doing this. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. We need to study. We need to study Scripture daily. We need to cultivate a consistent spiritual discipline to understand God's will and purpose for my life, which provides clarity for our lives and situations. We need to surrender personal desires. We need to choose to follow God's plan for our lives, even if God's plan for your life challenges your comfort and your familiar routines. I need to align my fleshly nature with God's nature, right? To live intentionally by seeking the spiritual fruit of the Spirit. What? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Church, it's not enough to just get rid of the old flesh. You have to replace it with something. You know what? I ask God daily to empty me out of myself and fill me up with Him. I need to cultivate a Christ-like mindset, right? Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. How do I begin to cultivate a Christ-like mindset? How do I do that? Well, let me tell you, He must become greater and I must become less. His ways have to become the priority, and my ways have to become secondary, right? We need to embrace biblical thoughts. Don't let circumstances or emotions dictate your actions. Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, right? To help enable you in your responses. And this is a big one. Choose to be a servant. Choose to be a servant of God, to live intentionally, not to seek man's approval, but to serve God and reflect His glory in all you do, and then make deliberate choices and deliberate actions. Do what God has told you to do. And I want to share with you to close, what's going to happen when I do this, when I prioritize the things of God? Let me just give you a few thoughts here of what's going to happen, the benefits of being different, right? We've been talking about the last few weeks, being different, not conforming to the world, right? And living intentionally for Jesus. Number one, you glorify God. Anybody here want to glorify God in their life? I mean, surely I owe Him something for the salvation that I've received, right? I actually owe Him everything. You glorify God. That's what happens when you start to prioritize God and His things, His ways, not conforming to the world any longer. Number two, you make a kingdom impact on the world. You make a kingdom impact on the world. What a beautiful thing that it is. The world may hate you because of Jesus. I get it. But if I will prioritize the things of God, living intentionally for Jesus, right? I'm going to make a kingdom impact in the world. You see, when we live to please God and not ourselves or others for that matter, we do live for Jesus intentionally. And number three, you will grow spiritually. You will. When you prioritize these things, when you live intentionally for Jesus, you grow spiritually. When you are different and you do not conform to the pattern of this world, you are empowered by God to grow and mature spiritually. You are empowered to be different. It doesn't matter if they call you a freak, right? It doesn't matter if they call you a Jesus freak. I don't care, because I'm here to please Him, right? And number four, which is probably one of the greatest things that happens when you live for Jesus intentionally, and that is this: you will inherit the kingdom, right? you will inherit an eternal reward. If we remain faithful to the end, church, we will be rewarded. Jesus had a lot to say about that. So as we close this morning, I want to bring you to a call to action this week. In a world filled with chaos, wouldn't you agree? In a world filled with chaos, with challenges, with distractions, and a whole lot of things competing for our attention, God calls us to be different. God calls us to live intentionally for Jesus. I would take it one step further. We are called to live intentionally for Jesus today. Don't wait till tomorrow to live intentionally for Jesus. Tomorrow may not come. Live intentionally for Jesus today. We are called to live intentionally for Him. We are called to reflect His light and His love. Church, being different begins with you. Nobody else. I listened to Dr. David Jeremiah the other day, and he said this is what he said that just stuck out in my head. He says, you know what? Your spiritual growth and your living for Jesus depends on one person, you. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't go, well, that pastor, he's not preaching the right stuff. Or, hey, that worship team, they're not playing the right music. Or, I'm not got the right people. No, it begins with you. The church isn't here to raise your kids. Your church isn't here to raise you. Your relationship with God is between you and Him. This is just hopefully a nice weapon of ammo for you to be able to continue to fight the good fight. Being different, being intentional for God, for Jesus, begins with you. You have to make the decision to prioritize God's kingdom here on earth in your life, in your family. You have to make the decision to be different. You have to make the decision to live intentionally for Jesus. You have to make the decision to live intentionally for Jesus today. Today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. I just thank you for your word. I thank you. I thank you for truly loving us when we don't get it right. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for today. God, help us. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to stop missing the opportunities to doing your work here on earth. Help us to see where you are at work and help us to join you in that work. God, thank you for being an amazing God. Thank you for being a God that never gives up on us. And God, we thank you for today and the opportunities of today. God, I pray a special blessing over each family here. I pray that you consume them with your presence. And God, that you would spur them on to being your hands and feet here on earth. We love you and we commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Just one call to action to close. Be intentional this week. Be intentional for Jesus. He's at work around you all the time. You won't be able to one day breathe your last and get up there and go, well, God, you weren't working around me. No, He is always at work. He is always at work around you. And now may the Lord bless you. And I pray that He keeps you. I pray that He reveals Himself to you. His promises.